Chazal zegt in Shabbat Chesu Shagma Rabbi Yehuda Masechet Ha'iris Daf Yud Perek Koyin Mashiach Perek Shlishi Zok the Hedek Mishnah B'Siyata D'Shmaya. If a Koyin Gadol sinned in a way that would make him chayv to bring a special carbon, and he was then removed from the position of Koyin Gadol before the bringing of the carbon or before even realizing that he had sinned, and similarly if a Nasi sinned and he then lost his position, the Koyin Gadol still brings the power of his chatos. A Nasi brings a male goat. We look at the time of the sin to determine which carbon he brings. If the Koyin Gadol was removed from his position and he then sinned, or a Nasi that was removed from his position and he then sinned, the Koyin Gadol would still bring a special power, but the Nasi would have the status of a regular individual. If in the case where the Kohen Gadol sinned after being removed from his position, he brings the power, why is it necessary to teach that if he sinned while still in office, he brings the power? And for the Gemara, it's only because the Mishnah had to teach both of these cases regarding a Nasi, because the halachas are different for him. So it was taught both of these cases also regarding the Kohen Gadol. How do we know that the Kohen Gadol taka who sins after leaving office still brings the power? And for the Gemara, Brisa says, the pasuk regarding Kohen Gadol says, v'hikriv al chatosoi. These extra words teach that he brings the power even when he sins after leaving office. We would think that since a Nasi who brings his carbon for a shoyge without an erroneous psak brings the carbon of a regular individual once he leaves the position. So then a Kohen Gadol who only brings his special carbon based on erroneous psak should surely be treated like an individual once he leaves his office. The pasuk therefore teaches that he brings the power even if he sins after leaving office. And say, if Kohen Gadol brings his power after he leaves office, even though he only brings the carbon when he makes an erroneous psak, then a Nasi should certainly bring his special carbon after he leaves office, since he brings the carbon for a simple shoygig. And for tomorrow, the pasuk says, Asher Nasi Yechta, which teaches that he only brings a special carbon when he's still a Nasi, but not after he leaves the position. So the next Mishnah, if the Kohen Gadol and the Nasi sinned before they were appointed to office, and they were then appointed to their positions, they're treated like regular individuals. Or Shimon says, if they realize that they had sinned before they were appointed, so that both the sin and the realization happened before the appointment, then they're chayav chatos like a regular person, the regular individual. If they didn't realize until they were appointed, then they are actually potter, he says. Who's the Nasi that we're referring to, affect the Mishnah? It's the king. We see this based on the pasuk of Mikol Mitzvah Hashem Aleikov, which teaches that we're referring to someone who has nothing above him, no one above him, except for Hashem. How do we know the halacha of the Mishnah? Versus the Brisa says, "Im akoyin haMashiach yechta." It comes to exclude sins committed before he takes office. Now, it would seem that we can learn this without a pasuk. If a Nasi who brings a carbon for a simple shogig does not bring his special carbon for sins committed before he takes office, then surely a Kohen Gadol who only brings a special carbon when he sinned based on his erroneous ruling should definitely not bring a special carbon for sins committed before he takes office. However, we can't learn Kohen Gadol from Nasi because a Kohen Gadol continues to bring a special carbon for the sins committed even after he leaves office, whereas a Nasi does not. The pasuk therefore has to teach on Mashiach Yechta, which comes to exclude sins committed before he takes office. There's a similar brisa with regard to a Nasi. The brisa says, the pasuk says, Asher Nasi Yechta, which comes to exclude sins committed before he takes office. Now it seems that we can learn this without the pasuk. If a Kohen Gadol brings a special carbon even for sins committed after he leaves office, does not bring it for sins committed before he takes office, and certainly a Nasi who does not bring his special carbon for sins committed after he leaves office should certainly not bring it for sins committed before he takes office. However, we can't learn Nasi from Kohen Gadol because the Kohen Gadol only brings his carbon based on erroneous psak, but the Nasi brings it for a simple shoyig. So maybe he even brings it for sins committed before he takes office. Therefore, the pasuk says Asher Nasi Yechta, which comes to exclude sins committed before he takes office. So, the Brisa says the pasuk says Asher Nasi Yechta, which seems to say that it's a gzeir from Hashem, the Nasi will sin. Asher Nasi Yechta, the Nasi will sin. The pasuk regarding Kohen Gadol says Im HaKohen HaMashiach Yechta, when he will sin, meaning if he will sin. It's teaching it just like regarding the Kohen Gadol means when he will sin, not that he'll definitely sin. The same is meant for the Nasi. Where do we ever find such a concept of such a gzeira that we would think that that's what's meant over here? Mercy, we do find such a concept regarding Tzaras, where Yehuda Darshan is supposed to teach that there will be a time when Tzaras will come. Talking about the Brisa says Asher Nasi Yechta, that comes to exclude a sick Nasi from bringing the special carbon of Nasi. In fact, just because he's sick, he no longer considered to be king. Rav Dimi Bar Chama said the pasuk is excluding a king who has tzaras. We find this regarding King Uzziah, who got tzaras and no longer held the position of king. The pasuk regarding King Uzziah says that when he got tzaras, he lived in the freedom house. This teaches that until then he was a slave, meaning because he was a king. As a king, he was a servant to his people. He had to do for his people. We find this in the story of Rabbi Gamaliel. We actually wanted to appoint Rabbi Elazar Chisma and Rabbi Yechim and Gudgudah to positions of authority, and at first they refused to come. He then said to them, "If you refuse because you're looking to shun the honor, don't worry. This is not authority; is not an honor. You actually become a servant to the people that you have authority over." So, Gemara Vayter Brisa says the pasuk says Asher Nasi Yechta. Rabbi Yechim Zachi said that Asher is like a lashon of lucky. Lucky is the generation whose Nasi brings a carbon on his shoyge, because if the Nasi brings a chatas, surely the regular people will do so. And if a Nasi brings a chatas for his shoyge, surely he'll do tshuva for any avera that he does b'mezid. In fact, Rava, the son of Rabba, asks, there are many other instances of use of the word asher that are not darshan in this way, so why is this one darshan like that? And if it's more, the pasuk regarding the Nasi doesn't follow the pattern of the surrounding parshias, because they normally begin with im, and here it starts with asher. That's why it's written to be darshan in this way. A similar drushin can be made on the pasuk where Shlomo talks of the suffering of the tzaddikim and the success of the rishayim. The pasuk can be dashed to mean lucky are the tzaddikim who suffer in this world, meaning to cleanse them of any averus, and woes for the rishayim who enjoy success in this world because they are left without any reward for them haba. Rava disagrees with the drasha. He dashed, he says, lucky is the tzaddik who enjoys success in this world as well as olam haba, and woes for the rishayim who don't even enjoy success in this world because they're vada, they're not going to have olam haba. Rava once applied this drasha to Rapapa and Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, who mastered many parts of the Torah, but they were still able to be financially successful as well. Rabbi Rachan and Rabbi Yechon said, the pasuk says, the roads of Hashem are straight, the tzaddikim walk in them, and the rishayim stumble in them. This refers to two people who do the same action with different results. For example, one person eating carbon pesach for the sake of the mitzvah, the other person eating when he's beyond full, chil gaso. Rish Lakish asked, the second person, he didn't do a mitzvah in the best oifen, but to call him a rasha. Rather, the example would be where a man is in a dark room with his wife and his sister, and he has a beer with one of them, doesn't know which one. If he ends up with his wife, that would be an example of tzaddikim walking in them. And if he ends up with his sister, that would be an example of a rasha stumbling in it. Mari asked, this would be an example of two distinct roads. The wife and the sister are like two different drachim, not one road that's referred to in the pasuk. Rather, the example would be like the story of Lot and his two daughters. The daughters had beer with their father for proper reasons, because they thought the world was going to be destroyed and had to carry on the human race, whereas Lot didn't have proper intention and would be the rasha who stumbles on the road while they were tzaddikim doing it for the right reason. Rabbi Yechon said, we see from the verbiage in the pasuk that Lot was steeped in znus. But Lot was an oinus, he was drunk. So how can you call the rasha? So Rabbi Yechon Chani taught there's a dot in the Torah over the letter vav in the story, which teaches that Lot realized what happened after he awoke after the first night. He therefore should not have allowed himself to drink wine the next night to be set up for that again. Ula said, Tamar was Mezana and Zimri was Mezana. Tamar had good intentions and therefore she bore kings. Zimri had bad intentions and therefore caused the death of tens of thousands of Klal Yisrael. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, an avera done with good intention is greater than a mitzvah done with improper intention. We learn this from Yoel, who the pasuk compares to Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, and her greatness was for having been Mezana with Sisera with the good intention of killing him and saving the Yidden. We have learned that Yehuda named Rav said that a mitzvah should be done even for ulterior motives because it will lead to a mitzvah being done for the proper reasons. How could you say that a mitzvah done without the proper intent is not as good as an avera? So rather, Zachmara, an avera done with good intentions is equally as good as a mitzvah done with ulterior motives. We stated above that Yehuda named Rav said that one should do mitzvahs even with ulterior motives, because we see this is correct because Balak bought 42 karbonis with bad intentions, and yet he was rewarded for it by having Rus as a descendant. Rechia bar Abba, the name of Yechonin, said, we learn from the story of Lot and his daughters that Hashem does not withhold reward even for someone's use of finer speech. What do you mean? Regarding the son of the older daughter, she called him Moyov, meaning from my father, announcing to everybody that he was the product of incest. Hashem told Moshe that the Yidden cannot fight a war with them, but it seems to allow the Yidden to harass them. Regarding the son of the younger daughter, who she called Amoin, whose name doesn't announce to everybody he was a product of incest, Hashem told Moshe that the Yid may not even harass this nation of Amoin. Rechia bar Alvin, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Koyach, said a person should always try to do a mitzvah as soon as possible, because the older daughter of Lot, who did the mitzvah, and in their minds they were doing a mitzvah, she did it one night earlier. She merited to have Jewish kings come from her descendants 4 generations before the descendants of the younger daughters merited to include a Jewish king.